But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. This is Nicole. Join me on this adventure as we go from glory to glory.
And welcome back. Thank you for joining me again. Okay, so today I want to teach you the difference, how to discern the difference between divination and versus the gift of prophecy. You know, like, how would you tell the difference when it is divination that is at work as opposed to the gift of prophecy that comes from God? Last week, I outlined to you the prophets and how to tell 15 signs that you would know if you had the gift of prophecy. Now I want to put that up next, side by side with divination, so you can see the difference between the two. And then I want to go further and talk to you about false prophets and all of that, so that you'll have a good understanding or a teaching on this subject, so that you by yourself, without anyone else telling you, will be able to know by the scriptures if this is a prophet of God or if this is a false prophet. Okay, so let me pray to get us started here. Lord, I just thank you for who you are, for your Holy Spirit that lives, abides within us, on us, around us, and works through us, Lord, to do your will. And for this beautiful gift of prophecy and the gift of discerning of spirits, and also that you've given us discernment, Lord, to know truth from falsehood, what is good and what is evil. And I just thank you, Lord, that for those of us who seek to know your truth, we will find it. You said that if we search for you with all of our hearts, we will find you. You're never going to leave us out there wondering and never understanding. We just thank you for that. I pray now that you will govern over this teaching, that hearts will be turned towards you, that their minds will be enlightened to your word and the truth, and that your spirit will minister to each one as they need to be ministered to, that they will glean from this everything that you want them to. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so let's get into this. First of all, divination. I'm going to give you the scripture first where this came from, and then I'm going to go into what it is in the Strong Concordance, and then I'm going to give you 13 points I have here to kind of tell when that is what's in operation and it's not really the gift of prophecy. Okay, so we see in Acts chapter 16, verse 16 to 18, it says, "One day, as we were going down to the place of prayer, we met a slave girl who had a spirit that enabled her to tell the future. Some versions say a spirit of Python, other versions say a spirit of divination. She earned a lot of money for her masters by telling fortunes. She followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, 'These men are servants of the Most High God. They have come to tell you how to be saved.' This went on day after day until Paul got so exasperated that he turned and said to the demon within her, 'I command you in the name of Jesus to come out of her,' and instantly it left her." Well, two things I want to point out to you here. Number one, she was telling the truth. She said, These men are the servants of the Most High God, and they have come to tell you how to be saved. Was that not the truth? Yes, this was the truth. One of the biggest myths about false prophets is that what they're telling you is false. This is not always true. Sometimes they can actually be telling you the truth. It's just the source. Where is it coming from? Okay, so it's either going to be God, it is the person's flesh, or it's a demonic spirit. Three different people can come on YouTube and tell you that we're going to hit an economic crisis and the Lord says that you need to stock up food. One of them could have received that word from the Lord, okay? And they share that. And so everybody gets into a frenzy and they start stocking up food. Another person could come on, and that person could be telling you because of something they saw on the evening news, and they're fearful. Therefore, their flesh is causing them to tell you a message, but it's the same message as the one who got it from God. Then a third still will come that carries on them a spirit of fear. And so they're delivering a message, but what's coming across on the message is a spirit of fear because they're being operated by, they're being under the influence of a spirit of fear. The source of the three people is three different sources, even though the message is the same. So what I'm saying is sometimes when we hear false prophet, we start to instantly think it's not true. And I am trying to tell you that is not always the case. If you're waiting for it to be untrue for that person to be a false prophet, you may miss it. And this is why I believe many people miss it. It's because they think, well, this person told me the truth. Everything that they said came to pass. So then they discount it and say, well, they must not be a false prophet because what they're saying is true. And that's not really what this is about. It is about what is the source of the information and where is this going to lead? Okay, now I want to say this. It says in verse 18, this went on day after day until Paul got so exasperated. This tells me that there's a possibility right away he did not pick up that this was a spirit of divination, because what was happening is she was telling the truth, right? Yeah. So as it went on, I believe he discerned it, because again, not because it's truth means it came from God. Okay, so that's what I want you to get from that there. Now let's go and take a look at divination. The word is kasam. It is Strong's Concordance 7080. To practice divination, to divine, to distribute, to determine by lot, magical scroll, to divine. The Hebrew verb kasam refers to the act of divination or seeking to predict the future or gain hidden knowledge through supernatural means. This practice is often associated with pagan rituals and is condemned in the Hebrew Bible as contrary to the worship and reliance on the one true God. It is typically used in contexts where individuals or nations are engaging in forbidden spiritual practices. In the ancient Near East, divination was a common practice among various cultures, including the Canaanites, the Egyptians, and the Babylonians. It involved interpreting omens, consulting spirits, or using objects like arrows, entrails, or stars, otherwise known as horoscopes, to predict future events or gain insight. The Israelites were explicitly forbidden from engaging in such practices, as they were to rely solely on God's revelation and guidance through his prophets and the law. Mm-hmm. So, they're getting information. It's just the source of the information is not from God, right? So now, let's talk about, I'm going to give you 13 signs which will start to show you why that person is operating from a spirit of divination and it's not the gift of prophecy. Okay, the first one I want to share with you is in, well, let's talk about what the Bible says about the gift of prophecy. It's in the book of Revelation, the scripture that tells us the essence of what prophecy should be today, right now, is in Revelation chapter 19, verse, I'm going to read it, 9 and 10. Okay? So this is an angel that came to deliver a message to John. And after he delivered the message, John fell down to worship him. And he basically said, no. You do not worship me, you worship God. So let's see what it says here. Revelation 19:9-10. Then the angel said to me, write this. Blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb. And these are the true words of God. At this, I fell at his feet to worship him. But he said to me, don't do that. I am a fellow servant with you and your brothers and sisters who hold to the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for it is the spirit of prophecy who bears the testimony to Jesus. What does that mean? When you receive a message from a prophet, any prophecy, anywhere, it has to point to Jesus Christ and should always lead you into a place of worshiping and focusing on the Lord, because the spirit of prophecy, true prophecy, is a testimony to Jesus Christ. It cannot just stand over here by itself, giving you all the things that you want, telling you everything you want to hear, and it never directs you to Jesus Christ. This is how you know it's divination and it's not the gift of prophecy, because prophecy should always point you to Jesus Christ. True prophecy from God should also always direct you into the path of God. It's not going to go contrary to God, okay? So the essence of false prophecy and the essence of divination is that it leads you away from God and not towards God, because everything that is from him is going to prophesy of him and lead you to him, lead you to a place where you're seeking him, not seeking stuff. Okay? So I'm just telling you, you can hear something. It can sound true, and more true. But much like Paul and Silas, when you've heard them say it over and over and over again, after a few different messages, because sometimes it takes you a while to pick up on it, you're going to start to say, why is this person not leading these people to Christ? Where is Jesus in this? You got thousands of followers, many different people coming to you, and a platform to use the gift of prophecy, but you're not using that gift to point to Jesus, right? That is how you know who is and who is not. Not because what they say didn't happen. Yes, that's a part of it. But what I'm saying is, if you just use that as the barometer of, well, it all happened and it was all true, it could still be divination. That's what I'm trying to tell you, okay? All right, so now let's go through these 13 points. Number one, all roads lead to money. By the end of their message, you will end up giving them money. Giving them your car, your house, your wedding ring. You're giving away everything to them for that word, because they're going to make sure they get something out of you for it, right? Number two, the prophetic word that you receive from them will be 100% flesh. You're going to be rich, you'll live in a mansion, you'll have a big ministry, it's you, very self-centered and selfish. Everything is centered around you. There is no testimony of Jesus Christ in it. It's about you. So it becomes a very self-centered and selfishly focused message. Every single time, okay? You're gonna get married. Come and listen to more words about your husband and about your husband. And here we go again. And another one about your, like, how many times do you need to hear that? And you never hear about anything else but that. It's your flesh. That's your flesh. It's about you. Number three, they prophesy huge blessings, but they never bring up repentance or going to the foot of the cross. No talk of repentance and no talk of going to Jesus Christ. It's just bless and bless and bless and bless. Next one. Four, when they do talk about someone's sin, it's in an insensitive manner and brings public shame, hurt, and humiliation. They'll call you out in a public group or a public forum to talk about your sin. I have never seen anywhere where it was ever done like that. That's not Christ. Even in the scriptures, when they were trying to stone this woman who was in sin, it says that he wrote on the ground. He never even said it out loud. And they all came over and looked. And based on what he wrote, they knew. And they backed up. Okay? If you have something to say to someone, there is a scripture given of how to confront people. That's how you confront them. You do not need to publicly declare people's sin through prophecy that you received in private about them in front of others. This whole thing leads to point number five. There is no love in it. Right? God is love. Somewhere in there, you have to pick up on the love of God. And if you're not picking up on the love of God, because he's not there. Number six, they operate with signs, wonders, and miracles, but there is no talk of salvation. No one is ever going to come to the Lord. They're not leading anyone to Christ. No. But they will show you 50,000 miracles and signs and wonders, but nobody comes to the Lord. Because it's not pointing to Jesus Christ. You see, we got signs and wonders in the Bible, in the book of Acts, and all of those things were to lead people to Christ. So somewhere in there, there must be a message of salvation. And if there is not, it's divination. Okay. Next one, which is number seven. They can tell you the brand of cigarette that's in your pocket, but they will never pray for you to be free from that addiction, that demon of addiction. No, they will count out your sin, but they're not gonna deliver you from that thing that they're pointing to. Next, it is a selfish, self-serving spirit, and it's very prideful. Nine, they tap into your desire and they use your desire against you. And how are they knowing your desire? They're working with spirits, familiar spirits who know you, that bring the information back to them. And then they're now prophesying to you your own desire so that you're like, oh, this is true. No, all of that is going through a supernatural force, through a familiar spirit that is now tagged to you because you're going to them. That's now giving them the information to now tell you what you want to hear. And I'm going to share that scripture next so that you can see it. Okay. Next, 10. They never submit to church authority. Mm-mm. Never submits to church authority. or ministry authority or whoever is in charge of anywhere, because they know everything. So they're never going to go, okay, you're in charge, I'm going to do what you say. No, they won't do that. 11, they target weak-minded or new Christians who don't know enough of God's word. You don't know God's word, they're coming for you. Yes, because they know that you don't know. So they can tell you anything. They can tell you anything and you will believe it because you don't read your Bible. Generally, the people who get caught up in this are people who don't read the scriptures. Because if you read the scriptures and you just sit there and listen to them a few times, much like Paul, after a while you're going to be like, what exactly is this? You would figure it out. You wouldn't need someone to tell you this one and this one and this one. No, you would know for yourself. Okay, number 12. They can prophesy with tremendous accuracy because the information comes from a familiar spirit who is attached to you that gives the information to them. I said that. And then number 13. Here's the conclusion. You will come to after a while. They've been so accurate on so many things. But at the end of the day, it's going to come back to money. Sow a seed. Yes. Except the problem is, guess what you're sowing a seed into? Divination. And now it is attached to you because you invested in that. Okay? So what am I telling you? I'm saying, stop going off of your emotion and just because they're right. At some point, you have to sit back and look at it and say, is Jesus anywhere in this? Or is this just about me and my flesh and hearing what I want to hear? And that's when you have to back up off of it. You should not be giving your money to anyone without first talk to Jesus about it. If I am going to sign up for any class online, any course online, anything that I'm like, I need to take this class and there is money involved, I'm going to go and sit with the Lord and I'm going to say, show me this person. In the spirit. I don't care how you look on the outside. I don't care how you look on the outside. I don't care about your grammar, your speech, whether you're eloquent or you're not, or you got a million followers or you got 10 followers. No. Show me this person in the realm of the spirit. Let me see who they really are. So I can understand who I'm dealing with there, so that I can know, should I listen to this person or not, or even worse, give them my money. Because when you sow that seed, you're sowing into the spirit that is bringing the message. Your flesh, the devil and divination, or it is the spirit of God. Yes, yes, yes. So I hope with this, you can look at it and say, oh, okay, now I know. I don't want to be the one. I've had people ask me before when I bring this up in prophetic words on our ministry website where they'll say, well, who? Can you tell us who? I'm not going to tell you who. If I tell you who today, I will have to tell you who tomorrow. This is a teaching ministry, this one. And what I'm going to do is make sure that I give you all the tools and all the scriptures necessary that you can take what I just said and you can watch several of them. Now that I'm saying it to you, I'm sure they're coming to mind and you're probably like, oh my gosh, like this person never actually talks about Jesus. There is no scripture reference on anything. I am never led back to the scriptures. I'm never led into prayer to talk to the Lord about anything. No, it's just you. It's very selfish. And so you sit there and you take in these words, and at the end of the day, it's like 4 years later, and you are no closer to Jesus Christ. You are no closer to Jesus Christ. Your relationship with the Lord has not improved. Instead, if you need to hear anything or know anything, you got to go to them, because they won't even teach you how to hear God for yourself. Okay? That's not Lord. That is not the Lord. Because the spirit of prophecy is a testimony of Jesus Christ. And if you're going back to Jesus Christ, I am telling you, you're going to be changed. You cannot be the same person year over year. You have to be different. You have to be different. Some improvements have to come from your life that says you've encountered the Lord in the scriptures, through prayer, through meditating on the word. Not I show up to be told how blessed I'm going to be with stuff. Now, let me say this. Let's say that you are the one with a prophecy, with a ministry that's prophesying to people. If you need money, ask for what you need. Ministries need money to operate. Ask for what you need. But what you should never do is tie your prophecy to money. No. Freely you have been given, right? Freely you receive. You're gonna give the word for free. You got it for free, you give it for free. God didn't charge you money for it when he dropped it in your spirit. So how are you charging people money to receive it? That's not the Lord. Give the message for free. If you want a donation because you're doing something or whatever, ask for what you want. Don't tie the two things together, because you cannot sell a prophetic word. It's free, and it came from the Lord free. So if he gave you a message to give someone, you give the message for free, okay? And I'm gonna go into some scriptures right now that will back up everything I just said, okay? You cannot buy a prophetic word. Well, I guess you can, but it's not God, and he's not pleased with that at all. So the first one I want to give you is, we're going to go to 2 Kings chapter 5. This is a very long chapter, so I'm not going to read the whole thing. I'm just going to give you a summary of the beginning, and then I'm going to read some of the scriptures at the end, okay? 2 Kings chapter 5. The gist of the story is this. Naaman wanted to be healed. First of all, he started out with a very bad attitude. It was like, I'm Naaman, tell Elisha I want to be healed. He needs to come to me. He needs to do this for me because I'm large and in charge. He had a bad attitude. And basically, Elisha says, no, I tell you what. I need you to go down to this river or brook or something and dip yourself in the water. The rivers of Damascus. Dip yourself in the water. And once you get into the water, all of your leprosy is going to be washed off of you. So finally, he goes and he dips himself. And yes, he gets healed. Now that he's been healed because of what was imparted to him, he's so grateful for that he runs back now to Elisha and tries to give him money for the healing. Okay, now I'm going to pick up the story here. Now when Elisha was there talking to Naaman, his servant Gehazi was there as well, okay? So let's go to verse 15. So this is first, let's see here, 2 Kings 5. I'm going to start reading at verse 15. Then Naaman and his attendant went back to the man of God. He stood before him and said, now I know that there is no God in all the world except in Israel. So please accept a gift from your servant. So he's paying for the healing now, right? The prophet answers, "As surely as the Lord lives, whom I serve, I will not accept a thing." And even though Naaman urged him, he refused. Why? Because he's paying for the gift. You can't buy a gift, a spiritual gift. 17. "If you will not, please let me, your servant, be given as much earth as a pair of mules can carry. For your servant will never again make burnt offerings and sacrifices to any other god but the Lord. But may the Lord forgive your servant for this one thing. When my master enters the temple of Rimmon to bow down, and he is leaning on my arm, and I have to bow there also, when I bow down in the temple of Rimmon, may the Lord forgive your servant for this." And then Elisha says, "Go in peace." This is wonderful because it shows how humble he had become from the healing, that he really received what the Lord had did. And he says, "I don't want anything to do with false worship anymore. Give me some of the dirt from this land. Let me take it back to where I am so I can remember to use this as a sign to come to the one true and living God, not idols." Okay. After Naaman had traveled some distance, Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said to himself, "My master was too easy on Naaman, this Aramean, by not accepting from him what he brought. As surely as the Lord lives, I will run after him and get something for it." So all of a sudden now, Elisha didn't want to take the money. And the servant is like, "How come you don't want to take the money?" Paraphrasing here. "I'm going to go take that money." So he goes after Naaman to get the money. Okay? Yes. Then when he goes there, I'm going to jump down now. He says, this is Gehazi. "Everything is all right." Verse 22. "My master sent me to say, 2 young men from the company of prophets have just come to me from the hill country of Ephraim. Please give them a talent of silver and 2 sets of clothing." He's now lying to get the money. "By all means, take 2 talents," said Naaman. He urged Gehazi to accept them and then tied up the 2 talents and the silver in 2 bags with 2 sets of clothing. He gave them to 2 of his servants and they carried them ahead of Gehazi. When Gehazi came to the hill, he took the things from the servants and put them away in the house. He then sent the men away and they left. When he went in and stood before his master, Elisha asked him, "Where have you been, Gehazi?" "Your servant didn't go anywhere," Gehazi answered. But Elisha said to him, "Was not my spirit with you when the man got down from his chariot to meet you? Is this the time to take money or accept clothes or olive groves and vineyards or flocks and herds or male and female servants? Naaman's leprosy will cling to you and your descendants forever." Then Gehazi went from Elisha's presence and his skin was leprous. It had become as white as snow. So he was cursed for doing that. Not only him, his family, for taking the money for the healing. Right. I mean, first of all, where did you go, Gehazi? I didn't go anywhere. And Elijah is like, "When you were there, my spirit was there following you too." One thing that's really interesting is when people try to lie to other people who have the prophetic gifting. Don't do that. If you know somebody have a gift of prophecy, make sure you tell them the truth, or just don't say nothing at all. Because they're going to know that you're lying. Okay? But the point here that I want you to see is that this man was trying to pay for his healing, and Elisha said no. And then this servant then decides at that moment, okay, well, since you don't want to take the money, I'm going to take the money. And then this is what happens to him, right? So don't ever tie any kind of work of the ministry with finances, prophecy, anything like that. It is okay for you to take a donation to grow your church, build your ministry or whatever, and ask for such. But you keep the 2 things separate. Your ministry, what you're doing with people, is pure and should be pure of the Lord. God gave you something, you give it away to people. You got a prophetic word for someone, you give it to them. They shouldn't have to pay you for that. Okay? What if they don't have the money? You know what I mean? This is not how it should ever be. And what is worse that I have seen in the body of Christ is that you have some people who have guilt over not having money to sow a seed. Oh my gosh! I've seen this many times. I will meet people and they're just like, oh, I feel so bad because I don't have any money. And you know, and it's like, you shouldn't feel bad. Why should you feel bad because you don't have a money to sow a seed? You don't have it, you don't have it. And God is not going to ever say, I'm not going to give you a word because you don't have any money. Does that sound like the Lord to you? No. Absolutely not. So that whole guilt because you can't sow a seed to receive something that was free? No. Rebuke that in the name of Jesus. That is not God at all. Okay? So I'm going to stop here for today. Next week, I'm going to go more into false prophets. Okay? I'm going to talk about that so that you really get an understanding there. So I hope with this that you were able to clearly see the difference between divination and the true gift of prophecy from the Lord. Okay? And that this was helpful to you. In the study guide, I'm going to have scriptures for you there. And just some things for you to think about and reflect on. Whether it is that you're the one that's out there looking for prophetic words. Or you're the one giving the prophetic words. You know, like I said, you have a ministry to run. It's just how you go about doing it. And there's so many scriptures that show, and I'll share more next week, this thing about tying money to prophecy. It's a problem for the Lord. He doesn't like it at all. Okay, so you be blessed. I hope this was great for you, that you learned something, and that, you know, we're just gonna like grow together and learn in this. All of this I had to learn over time. You know, I knew by the Spirit some things were not right, but then as I went along, the Lord started to give me all the scriptures to back up, like, you see how this works? Don't ever do that. Okay? I mean, even in, I want to say it's in Acts where, what was his name? I don't remember his name. But he was trying to like get Paul to give him the Holy Spirit and pay for it. And it's like, what? No. And he told him, he said, go and repent. You need to repent. Father Peter. Anyway, so yeah, you can't pay for the gift of God. This is free, right? So we thank you, Lord, for just what you've given us so freely. And may we, with the same giving heart, give to those who you send to us. And Lord, for those who might be struggling in their ministry financially, I just ask that you would show them how you want them to manage this portion of it, how they can still be true to doing the way you ask ministry to be done and then receive what it is that they need. I pray that you will work with them and give them wisdom and knowledge and understanding on how to do that, Lord, in a way that pleases you. We love you, Lord, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so next week I'm going to continue. Talk some more about false prophets, and I think that will be it after next week with this whole series. All right, you have an amazing week. Bye.